Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and we're continuing with the transformational conversation on frustration being the root cause of all human problems, frustration. And we're marching our way through this because it's all got to do with change, positive personal change through higher consciousness. It's all got to do with you being the best you. It's all being your ability to quickly and rapidly, instantaneously adapt change. Wisdom is the instantaneous recognition that a crisis is a blessing. To do that, sometimes you have to change not only what you think, but how you think. So when something goes pear-shaped or something doesn't go to plan, your ability to adapt to that will determine how much frustration you're going to experience and for how long. So talking through stuff with another person is anything but healthy. Your subconscious doesn't get challenged if your beliefs and thinking process stay unchanged. So seeking advice from like-minded people, a spouse, a friend, an associate, a colleague, or a family member, quite often just validates the boundary around which you're trying to make a decision. And Einstein said this and that, and said that you can't solve a problem from within the framework that caused the problem, which is your own thought process. So the amount of frustration people have on a daily basis has grown and grown and grown, especially over the last 40 years, it's grown exponentially. The unhealthy ambition to understand what people think about us was introduced in the Western world during the Industrial Revolution, when we needed to know how to flog more things to more people as we became capable of mass producing things. By discovering that we could make things cheaper if we made a lot of them, we had to create an appetite for what we made and made a lot of. Hence, commercial sales and growth led to the most advances in exploring human consciousness, not, as most people think, from the art of repairing illness. So commercialization has driven the science of mind awareness. And by knowing what other people think, we found the best way to cause people to want what we've got and to provide things that satisfy human want or need. You know, it's made it sophisticated, but it's also made it very complicated. And there's been thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of books and words put out to do something that's really, really simple. But of course, we have made it very sophisticated because people, as we learn how to manipulate people's minds and learn how to sell things and learn how to manipulate people, they learn better ways to defend themselves, and they've reinforced the boundary, steel cage, this iron wall, this brick fence around their fortress. They've reinforced their identity in order to make it safer because the mechanisms of influence has become more sophisticated. And that's now extended to what I get every day, three texts from either a traffic road toll company, or from Amazon, or from someone saying, oh, by the way, or from the MyGov, and I get these texts saying, oh, you've overpaid, we've got refund, click here and we'll refund your money, give us your bank account. So with all this going on, it's understandable, we become more defensive, more identified, and this flies in the face of mental health. So we personalized and identified with the commercial product. So at first it was how do you convince people they want something they don't need? And secondly, how do you compete with others who are selling the same thing made on a different machine? And the answer was we personalized sales. We said the identity or the character of the salesperson has something to do with the product. Now, this is all smoke and mirrors. What was claimed as the big difference between products was the personality and the character of the business owner or the salesperson. And this has somehow become part of the default, part of the epidemic we're in. How many cultures are measured on engagement studies and 360-degree feedback in business? It's basically saying the quality of your output is determined by how well you get on with people and your character. It's absolute myth, and also it's very religious. So, of course, we had no idea way back then we were building frustration by parking worry and stress, parking the human intuition, and causing people to be more and more emotionally ignorant and more designed for purpose. Nor do we recognize the impact this would have on human behavior. And along the way with all this, we've built cities, which makes people less and less aware that they're doing it because we're becoming more and more urbanized. And so the fight that we have and the journey of my existence on this planet is to bring nature back into people's lives. And the first place to bring it is not a plant in your house or mung beans or hemp pants or save the whales or splitting your garbage into garbage tins. The first place to bring it is how you think, because that goes everywhere and affects everything. So just to recap there, we had no idea way back at the Industrial Revolution that we were building frustration by parking worry and stress. We learned that to present a character, to follow an ideal characterization of ourselves, we thought that this was the best way to be a human being. And certainly in selling our wares, whether it was for a relationship to get married, whether it was to be a leader in a business, or whether it was to sell a product or in a shop or deliver a service on an aeroplane, we were told that present the best of ourselves to the public, present the best to others. Nobody in the right mind could have believed that there is a duality to this, that there is the more we present a code of goodness to the planet, the more we are in the dark with our darkness. And that darkness doesn't go away just because we pretend to everybody that we are sweet. We know that, for example, the most people who act passively at work are aggressive at home. People who are aggressive at work might be very passive at home. And so this concept of duality builds a frustration, because the frustration is we aren't who we say we are. We are half of who we say we are. We have the other half of ourselves we have to form a friendship with. So our mind, which is hardwired to find the right tone in life, even if working our ass off in a coal mine was the way we thought it would happen, we'd never been exposed to this concept of present a good self to the world and hide or take behind closed doors the dark side. And this led, of course, to domestic violence. It meant to beating up kids. It meant to corruption in all walks of life. It created the underground, where people went to darker places to express the other half of themselves that society rejected. And so cheap satisfaction and impulse buying became more and more popular because of the dopamine hit and the sense that we are being this public self. We're identifying with a public self. And humans have been eating for pleasure and doing this sort of thing for thousands of years. But even back then, before the Industrial Revolution, we had patience and respect. And so we weren't like so fraudulent, if you want to put it. No, weren't so identified with our identity. We didn't necessarily think that we were what we thought. So instantaneous gratification has grown, and with that has come the ways to reinforce the frustra, the ways to reinforce the boundary between what's inside and what's outside, between the real self and the publicly presented self. And the work of inner wealth is to give you love and respect for both sides of yourself, even if you do have to present a false front at work or a false front at home or a false front somewhere, to get to like yourself for both who you are publicly and private. We say in the words of inner wealth, make your privates public. And that doesn't mean, you know, go and become a flasher. What it means is have no shame. So the sale of self-help books since the 50s and the workshops and yoga and meditation have skyrocketed in society in those years, as well as other ways to associate with what others think of you and have some link and link it to your success through some probably very biased study that says a happy person does happy work, or a good person does good work. And these fictitious links between our output and our character have been constructed in order to make the world a safer place for those who live by the laws of fear. Do you know what else happened since the 50s? Well, the obesity rate has more than tripled. Diabetes rate has skyrocketed. So, as an environmental engineer and an ecologist and specializing in biophilia, I simply, back in those days, couldn't get my mind around how could the world, with the best medical technology, the richest economies, and gyms and yoga schools on every corner that you go to, and an abundance of health foods and signs on groceries, get more sick every year? Well, there's an answer. There's a way to restore energy and fix the nagging mental and physical problems that can rob anybody of joy. A way to look and feel fantastic. And that starts and ends with dealing with frustration. You see, powerful emotions are poisons hidden in advertising, news, and everyday thinking, convincing you to buy healthy when it's not, or think this way when it isn't healthy. They're experts at breaking through the interlocking arms of the secret service cells in your mind. In other words, they break into your frustra and rattle the cage. And what they do is manipulate and play with the things that you've locked in there, both positive and negative. They leave a hole in stories, which means bad stuff can grow inside the prison. Inside the fortress, there can be negative thoughts rolling around, mixed in with the positive thoughts, but you don't know it. And these develop a sort of artificial intelligence of their own. They make holes in your thinking process. They block your intuition. They rip holes in your story, and they destroy self-belief and more. So they get inside. The world gets inside the fortress called your identity. And once it's inside, they start to grow like virus. And I wish I could say that's where it ends, but actually it's just the beginning of the problem. You see, once you've got a frustration or other bad thoughts, it creates holes for other things to penetrate. So frustration is a gateway through which judgments and criticisms and weakness and many other lower emotions, dark thoughts, can come in through. So frustration creates a hole in your identity, and then the thunderstorms come behind. So they're known as dark clouds. These thoughts are little pieces of poison that impact your behavior more than anything else. It's going to sound gross, but you need to hear it. They're actually these thoughts that come in behind frustration. They're microscopic virus that can cause damage to your entire DNA, entire being, especially your immune system. These dark clouds or low emotions or thunderstorm feelings that stem from frustration are like hate, anger, fear, jealousy, guilt, envy, and shame. They all come in following into the invasion or the breakthrough, your identity, and therefore your frustra. And they come in and start living within the boundaries. So let's start it again. The boundary called your frustra or your identity is meant to keep thoughts you don't want out. So a Christian person or a Muslim person or a Buddhist person creates an identity, surrounds themselves with their belief systems and a way to think. And that boundary is meant to keep stuff out. It keeps other people's beliefs and other people's ideas, and other people's judgments and other people's expectations. It's meant to keep it out. And the problem is, and it does, on the most part, it does a good job, because that means we hang out with people we like, we do jobs we like, we do the jobs the way we like, we make decisions the way we like, we do it our way. And for the most part, that's good. But a frustration creates a hole in your identity. And that frustration creates a gap. And through that gap comes the darkness. And that stuff gets in, but it doesn't go back out again. So our identity starts to become broken. And when our identity becomes broken, we know it, because we hunch, we feel tired, we get headaches, we get skin rashes, we get aches and pains in our joints, we get stomach problems, we get heartburn, we get indigestion, and it gets into your blood. They can even cause septic shock. If they get into your heart, they can cause all sorts of deadly health issues. And the reason they can stay in there and they can hover around inside your being is because we don't know they're there. They're inside our identity. And they can cause brain damage. Now, that's a pretty big accusation, right? But if these toxic emotions that come in behind frustration are left to rampage through your body for months or years, they are so loud and they are so angry that they're inside us. And now it starts to become part of our default thinking process to have anger and disappointment and hate and frustration and fear as part of our daily default. We just don't even know that we're thinking those thoughts because they're inside our identity. And that's where mental and emotional issues come from. So you can see now why I say frustration isn't just a small issue. It leads to the inability to change and adapt, but it actually causes most of the things we call our daily life problems, our emotional discomforts, and our illnesses, mentally, physically, financially, etc. So when I discovered the impact of frustration, really made me think twice about how I treated people. Once I realized that what was causing the problems was their identity, and when I started realizing that speaking in public to large audiences was helping reinforce people's identity, I thought I better change what I'm doing. And so I took to coaching people. And the reason I believe coaching is the only way to get through an identity crisis, or let's say to learn how to expand or bust through a frustra, I call it frustra buster, is because it's so our identity has got a good function and we don't therefore want to tell people to not have one, but it's also got a bad function because it locks in shit. So I began to see incredible changes when I started working one-on-one with people. All sorts of different individuals who had been, let's say, being angry and frustrated, maybe even successful people who were addicted to things, I suddenly started to realize that what a powerful impact it can be if we learn to move frustra outwards when there's a challenge to it and recognize what that challenge looked like. So I've got testimonial after testimonial of people who have been in frustration, didn't know what to call it, didn't know what to deal with it, and were focusing on the stuff that came in behind frustration, trying to be kinder, trying to be less angry, trying to be all those things, when really they were just the effect. The cause was frustration. So with the thousands of people I've helped, I'm 100% sure that this is what nature intended. It intended a tree to grow out with growth rings. Those growth rings emanate from you in all seven directions, so therefore they're circular, conical. And when we apply total human awareness, we realize that frustration that comes in one area of life, maybe it's a physical frustration, impacts all seven because it allows the dark forces, the dark clouds to come in and become part of our identity. And we don't know ourselves. We don't know what another person feels like. We don't know what another person thinks. We only know what we feel and think. And that becomes our default. And so sometimes we don't even know that we have toxin going on inside of us because we've got used to it. So I'm going to leave this podcast at this and we'll pick it up later on. But next podcast we're going to talk about is the dangers of compartmentalization in life. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.